So the next night, I'm with Cable Guy in Raleigh. It's his first arena show, completely sold out. I go up, do my 20 minutes and go, thanks, good night. And I walk off. I never brought him up. I go walking off the stage. He's like, Reno, what happened? I'm like, dude, that was awesome. You're going to love him. He's like, you didn't bring me up. I'm like, oh, and all of a sudden you hear eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. And he just walks up on stage, right? There is not an act in the world who doesn't fire me that night. He comes off stage laughing about it. That was so funny, you dumbass. You forgot to bring me up.
Now, broadcasting live from the Podcast Palace on Park Street in beautiful and dangerous Clearwater, Florida, it's the Comedians on Cork podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Tony God and Pat Largo.
I'll just tell people I'm with right now from Blue Collar Comedy and Comedy Central, Reno Collier. And Reno, we've spoken a few times, man, so I really appreciate you taking time out here, and especially with some of the weather you got going on in Tennessee. For people, you got so much going on now, and with the state of the country and maybe with this post, hopefully, COVID stuff, what's going on with comedy and you and, like, the touring stuff? Like, how are you handling everything right now?
It still feels weird,
yeah,
but I can feel with the crowds. Like the shows are selling out again. And, you know, I can feel that people are over it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're just like, damn, you know, good God, give it to me or whatever, you know? And people really want to get out and laugh. So I've been doing, like, it's been a weird year. Like, I'm doing some shows with John Reap, these Reap and Reno shows. I'm doing shows with Josh Arnold, the Bob and Tom thing. I'm doing a couple of shows with Cletus T. Judd,
yep,
in West Virginia, where he was on the radio. And, you know, like, people are coming out, man. I mean, they're packing them in. So it's fun. It's a great, you know, you can look at it. You can look at the negatives or you can look at the positives. The positives are, I feel like we're coming out of it. I feel like people are at a point where they're like, I'm going to live my life,
yeah,
you know? And I don't think it's just comedy. I mean, I think it's every business has just been trounced. So it's like, let's go do something, man. We can't just sit around for the rest of our lives and, you know, hide out.
Let's do something. And you can still do things safely. I'm totally down with that. You know, I tell people in the shows, I go, you want to wear a mask? That's fine. I say, if you heard my comedy, you may want to have earplugs too.
Should I have a mask on now?
No, I feel safe with you because I don't know.
You're gonna put a mask on?
You want to say what you want. Because I've had COVID 5 times, so I'm safe through Zoom. I'm good. It stunted my growth too. So
smaller. You look like you're the size of my phone.
I know.
You're a little bitty now. COVID shrunk you. Your body's gone, but your head is enormous. That's how I've lived my whole life.
I know. It's great. If people have to see you in person, well, first, I'm proud of you because I don't know if you want to talk about it, but you talked about this on stage when you were just at Snappers here recently, that you are, how many years sober are you now?
Five. It was 5 at Christmas.
And that is so cool because I love having people talk about stuff like this because I was talking about it with you with someone recently and I said, yeah, he doesn't drink anymore. And they're like, why? I'm like, I know, that's always my question. I'm like, why? But I'm like, no, I said, apparently Reno really enjoyed it. So, I mean, were you like that stage? Were you like just, it was beyond like a couple of shots and some beers, right?
Yeah, dude. I mean, drinking's fun. I'm not anti-drinking at all. It's right. Just, I mean, I almost died, dude.
Yeah.
It wasn't fun for me anymore, but that's all on me. It's not alcohol's fault. I just can't do anything a little bit.
Yeah.
And then after it turns into a need and not a want, it's not fun anymore. Like if I need to drink 6 beers to feel normal, and dude, plus my liver was going to fall out. Like my liver numbers were jacked up. And if anybody's watching this, it's so hard to do this, dude, because people come out to a comedy show and they don't want to hear, you know, like they feel like, well, if I don't want to go see that guy, he's going to be like anti-drinking. I'm pro-drinking.
Yeah.
I just can't do it. And I don't chastise people or anything, but if somebody did need help, you can reach out to me. you can direct message, whatever, because once it's not, it's great when it's fun. And then when it's not, and you start killing yourself, I detoxed at home, which was very dangerous. I didn't know I was going to detox. I didn't think anything was going to happen. And I hallucinated and flipped out and was yelling at my wife. I'm like, turn off the dryer. And she's like, I'm not doing anything. I'm like, stop singing the Frozen song. And she's like, I'm not singing. But I was hearing stuff and flipping wow. out. Yeah. And then by the time I wouldn't go, they were like, you're going to the hospital. I'm like, no, I'm not. And I would not go, which was stupid. It dragged it out, the detox process, longer.
Wow.
But yeah, man, I mean, it's really tough, and it's tough to be in this business and not drink. But when you go to the places I went to with it, mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, you know,
yeah,
it's fun, but, and I'm cooked anyway. My brain's mush, so I feel dizzy all the time as it is, you know?
And I think that's great. I agree 100%, especially with you doing in the touring now. And I think it's great that you said people can contact you. I'm going to contact you so I can get tips on how to drink more.
I can tell you how to do that. Yeah. I actually have more experience with that.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Cause I need a little, cause I have a girlfriend now, and believe me.
And she's pretty, dude. I don't know how you pulled that off. I love you, but thanks. She's way too pretty for you.
She's out of my, I forgot that. Am I out of her league, or she's out of my, I always forget that league example. She's out of my league, right?
And not only is she pretty, she's so cool and easy to talk to.
Yeah, I know.
She's really nice. But dude, you're really nice. You're a good, solid dude. Like, I'm kidding thanks. When I say that. Like, you really are. My wife loves you, man. She's like, he's so thoughtful, and he's the nicest guy, and
I just,
you know, and by the way, dude, when you were with me in Florida, you crushed.
Oh, thank you. We were in the Villages together, you and me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You crushed.
Thank you. Well, yeah, it was a great opening for you. And that was just a lot of fun. I mean, and so I really appreciate that. And then watching you do what you do is fantastic. So, you know, I mean, I really appreciate that, but I'll get more drinking tips a little bit later on. Cause I want to start with the hard stuff now. The beer is good. I got to get harder.
Yeah, just don't get to where you're hiding it in different places in the house. I don't understand what's wrong with him. He only had 3 glasses of wine.
Right.
Yeah, but he left the room 12 times.
Why does he always go to the garage? I don't understand. Yeah,
because that's where he does his work. That's where his tools are.
I got a workbench out there that's as clean as anything, because I don't do any work, but that's my excuse to get out there. I want a detour. But dude, you've been doing some great stuff. Well, I guess, was it a day job? Like, you, I never knew you did this kind of woodwork and like construction. I see you doing videos with bobcats or bulldozers. Where'd you get this from?
So what happened was, first of all, when you quit drinking, your brain, like, I probably drank a lot because my brain just freaking spins, dude. Like, I can't sleep at night.
Yeah.
Like, so I have to wear myself out to be able to rest and just shut my brain down. So we started doing it for a couple weeks. We were trying to sell a show, a construction show, and my buddy's a contractor.
Right.
So I went out, we filmed for 2 weeks, and I was working. Well, I never knew, you know, especially the past couple of years, whether my clubs and theater shows were going to go. I mean, I could be on the way to the airport on a Friday morning and they call and go, hey, show's canceled tonight. Somebody got COVID, da, 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 but whatever.
Right.
So my buddy's like, dude, if you want to work and come in and work with me, have at it. You know, we can try for a couple. And I ended up doing it for almost 2 years. Like,
wow.
So I'd work Monday through Thursday construction, then Friday morning maybe, and then go to clubs. Work Friday and Saturday, Sunday, come back Sunday night. And then Monday morning, I was back at work. But dude, it was more therapeutic than anything. And financially, my kids aren't going to stop eating because of this stuff. I got to do something.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
Any
shout outs or plugs? Like, real quick, is this the guy, is this the former Tennessee Titan you were working with?
No, dude, he worked with me though. He wasn't out digging holes and stuff. He builds, his name's Craig Stevens.
Okay.
He played for the Titans for 9 years. Wow. He builds the most unbelievable furniture And I mean, anything you would need with Wood, like when he got drafted with Vince Young, right? And Young, like, what'd you do with your money? And he's like, I bought a Ferrari with I've got my name on the rims. And they asked Craig, they're like, what'd you buy? And he's like, tools.
Yeah.
That's what he bought. He's got like his own workshop in his house. He's an amazing dude, man. Yeah. So freaking talented and strong. Like, dude, I forget how strong those guys are.
Yeah.
And like that dude is full blown beast. Like just, and he's so calm and he's like, you know, and I'm asking him all these questions while we're working. I'm like, dude, who was your favorite football team growing up? He's like, I didn't have one. I'm like, what? He goes, I didn't have one. I wanted to be a fireman.
Right.
I'm like, what are you talking? He's like, in high school, they kind of like made me play. And then I played in high school and they're like, are you going to take the SATs? And he's like, nah, man, I'm going to be a fireman. And then his coach is like, just take it. And he takes it. And then they're like, hey, you got a full scholarship to Cal. And he's like, I want to be a fireman. They're like, go to college, play football, and then you can be a fireman. He's like, all right, whatever. Goes to college and plays. Then he's, they're like, hey, I think you're going to get drafted. And he's like, oh, I want to be a fireman. Then he gets freaking drafted. He didn't even care. I'm like, dude, I'm asking him questions about like the 90s, about like, you know, what do you think about this and that? He's like, I don't know who that is. I'm like, dude, you fulfilled every dream that every single little kid ever had and you could care less about it. He goes, yeah. He goes, you know, it's kind of weird because like people forget that we're human. You know, like we're on the sidelines and people are like, you suck. And he's like, you know, people think like, but he's like, that really hurts my feelings. And I'm like, you are destroying everything about football to me. Stop telling me this stuff.
Is he gay?
No.
Okay.
He has a beautiful wife and kids. And Pat, that wouldn't matter.
Oh,
that beautiful. Doesn't matter now, Pat.
Beautiful wife and kids?
Yeah.
Gay.
No.
Just kidding.
He's a great dude.
Now, I forget. Was he an offense? Was he a tight end? Or what? Do you recall what he was?
Tight end, yeah.
Oh,
for the Titans for 9 years.
And that's how scary it is because those guys are so big and strong. And like Gronkowski and your buddy, can you imagine the linemen, offensive linemen who are 6'7", they're 340, and they're just throwing people around like there's – I mean, that's just scary. Now, that's really – now and he never wound up being a fireman.
No. His brother did. Dude, his brother, if anybody wants to look it up, they can help out with this. It's ALS. His brother was a fireman, got ALS. He goes on Ellen. Remember all those ALS challenge things and everything for the firefighters?
Okay. I saw one guy from California who was
a fireman. In California. Craig's from California.
Maybe. Oh, God. Maybe that was it.
And he's a solid dude, too, man. I mean, that guy's I haven't talked to him in a while, to Craig, but there's a lot. I mean, it's just an amazing, and his dad was like a cop and a blue collar type family, and he just couldn't be a better dude.
Okay. That's maybe I'll get that. Well, maybe we'll do it during the interview too, though, because this is probably the same guy. It was like him and his fiance. He came on Ellen. They were crying. Then he had his fire crew behind him. And they're like, he was like very young, like maybe early 30s, late 20s.
That's him.
Oh, wow. I did see that episode.
Yep. And he's he's tougher than, I mean, Craig will tell you, he's tougher than anybody he's ever known.
Wow. Okay. That's amazing, man. All right. That's good to know. All right. We'll follow up that later because that would, and I have a thing for firefighters. My dad was a cop in New York, but I always wanted to be a firefighter when I was a kid. I don't know, gravitated towards that for some reason, but
yeah.
Wow. All right. Well,
they're great people, man. I mean, they freaking save people.
I mean, I got fire station 30 over here in Pasco that came over to the house a few times to help out my mom over the last few years. And, I got to do more with them. I know got to do more charity stuff. I'm going to work on that in the next few months because they deserve it, man. So, real quick, people may not know this. You were a PE teacher, right?
I was. Yeah, man, a long time ago. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
25 years ago. But yeah, man. I did the Opry, the Grand Ole Opry, which was like the most amazing experience. But I did my teaching stuff on there. And it's fun, man. Because that's something everybody can relate to. I don't really talk about it as much anymore because doing others. Like, I have a lot of construction stuff and construction, like construction workers, military people, firemen, cops, nurses. Those are the people that come to see me. And I love it because you can say whatever. They've seen and experienced things and done things. Not teachers as much, but you know what I mean? Like, they relate. They, especially the people that are first responders and stuff like that. So it's weird that my crowd has become like this. Well, it's not weird. I was in blue collar world forever, but it's a very blue collar audience.
Yeah, exactly.
Comes. And I did like shows and this is the coolest thing about being a comedian. I did shows in Iraq and Africa and Kuwait, all that stuff. When guys and gals, yeah, God dang, I'm old. Guys and gals, when men and women come back from that stuff and I get to see them after they saw me there, that's one of the coolest things. And I've had a few people reach out to me, you know, Facebook and all that makes it so much easier. But
yeah, man,
I'm loving life right now.
You do a lot with the military, and that's awesome. And we'll get to that a little bit later on too. Maybe some of the stuff you do and any kind of like charity stuff. I know that you do with some, I believe, is it the Children of Fallen Servicemen and Women?
Yeah, it's called a Soldier's Child. You can go on a soldierschild.org, and we put up, we do birthday parties for kids who have lost a parent.
Wow.
And it's in battle, a lot of it, but a lot of it is when these soldiers come back home, they have problems and things that, you know, it's, so we treat that exactly the same as if you're still in Afghanistan, no matter what's happened to your parent. So we do birthday parties, but now it's grown where we have summer camps for the kids. And it's, we've been doing it so long that now the kids who started out going to the camp are now counselors, because these kids don't, you know, if something happens to your parent and it's in a military type thing, they go into school and the other kids don't understand what they're going through.
Right.
But we're trying to provide a place where they can all go, and then they have something in common. So their problem, like, we had a songwriters camp where Nashville songwriters worked with the kids and they wrote a song and performed it about their parent and their relationship and how they feel. And dude, I bawled. Like, I host the celebrity golf tournament every year. I bawled maybe.
Of course.
But it's called soldierschild.org if anybody wants to check it out. Or more importantly, if you know of a child that we could help out, that's really what we're going for.
And we'll put that along with this in our YouTube and our Spotify and everything, so people can get that link and click on that too. So
sweet.
This one is, it might be cutting edge. What was more draining or what was weighed on your conscience more, being a PE teacher or being in witless protection with Larry the Cable Guy?
Being in that movie was probably the most painful thing I've ever done.
Sorry, Dan.
Dude, I love that. That was so much fun. That dude, people joke around about those movies. Those movies were fun and silly. And the fact that I got an opportunity to be in a movie, I mean, I got to be in other ones, but like that one was the first one I was ever in where I could go to the theater and see myself in it. I don't care what people think of the movie. If you get a chance to be in a movie and go to the theater and see yourself, it's freaking amazing.
Yeah.
No, and I don't care. You know, people are like, well, that movie was, so what? It wasn't supposed to win an Academy Award. It was fun and silly and stupid. And, you know,
you understand. Witless Protection, Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way 2.
2.
That was kind of harder because the Christmas before that came out, I went through a divorce and I'm living in this crappy little apartment and I've got like a Charlie Brown tree. Yeah. And I'm telling my kids, I'm like, look, divorce is horrible.
Yeah.
Right. But next year I'm going to be in a Christmas movie. We're going to go see it. We're going to check it out. It's going to be awesome. I promise you, we're going to turn this thing around. And the next year the movie comes out, we watch it. My son goes, Dad, the movie's good, but like, did you read the script? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, the whole movie is about a dad who gets divorced, who's trying to find toys to make up for his kid and the mess and the thing. And I'm like, you know, they like just fell into. He's like, don't you think we should have maybe waited another year? But it was fun, man.
That's awesome, man. And you touched upon it earlier, And I wanted to get on this before we talk about your newest album that came out. Grand Ole Opry, when I first saw this, and I put this on our Comedians on Cork page and stuff like that, and people were liking it like crazy. And I said, wow, Reno at the Grand Ole Opry. How did this come about and how did you feel?
So when they asked me, like, first of all, when you do others like Comedy Central or other stuff, it's even TV, even network, NBC shows I've done. A lot of the people that work in the industry, it almost feels like they don't want you to do well. Like there's kind of a negative tone, like, Oh, good luck. You know, you better not mess this up. Make sure that you, but the Opry is the complete opposite. Like from the second you pull in, the guy in the parking lot who waves you is like, hey, Mr. Collier, good luck tonight, man. It's going to be great. I'm so happy for you. It's your big debut. And I'm like, holy cow, that guy was cool. Then you meet somebody else. Then you see the security. It is the most amazing group of people that are so positive. Then the other acts on the show, you know how comics are. Yeah, don't jack it up. You're going to suck. You know, stuff like that. They were like, you are going to be fantastic. This band called the Isaacs, who literally blew the doors off a place. I had to go up right after them. They walked off stage and they were like, I heard it's your debut. The woman, and I can't think of her name, but they're a Christian type of band or whatever. So talented. Okay. She grabs my hand and goes, you are going to be fantastic. I'm like, I got to follow that. And she's like, they are going to love you. And she's like, I'm going to stay and watch. Everybody stood on the side, watched. I come off, they're hugging me. They're like, isn't this, I mean, dude, it was the greatest. And Cable Guy, we did Radio City, the Boston Garden, which are amazing things.
Sure.
But this was so special to me. I still have, here, look at this.
What you got there? Did the girl from the Isaacs at least kiss you good luck?
Look at that.
Oh, nice.
And they gave it to me, which I don't know if that means they don't want me to come back or not.
But it's just a nice way. Yeah, it's a nice way of saying it. That thank you so much for your time. We don't want you to come back.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. I'm so happy. So now when you say they kind of, does someone from the Grand Ole Opry literally contact you and go, hey, this is so-and-so from the Opry. We want you to come and do a show or?
Well, my manager reached out to them.
Oh, cool.
And then like they wanted to talk to me.
Wow.
And it's not like, hey, come on up. Like,
right.
They want to know that because the way they treat people, it's so special that I think they don't want anyone to mess that up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So It's such a humbling thing for me. My mom called me before I went up and she goes, do you know, 50 years ago, I was at the Opry with your grandfather and you were in my belly. Like I was pregnant with you. Wow. So the first time you went to the op, you know, and she was just saying how proud my grandpa would have been of me and all that. And I was just going like, oh man. And my grandpa was my idol. So it was just such an emotional type thing. And like Ingvall, like texting me is like, make sure you stop and look around and pay attention. And Leanne Morgan had done it right before me. And she's like, you know, make sure you soak it all in. And I tried to do that.
Wow.
But it was really cool. I mean, just, you know, when you work for a long time and I've gotten to do the coolest stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel extremely blessed, but that was just such a nice little thing, you know.
That right there is beyond the cherry on top, man. That I was so happy for you.
Thank you, buddy.
And speaking of that, so have all the blue collar folks done Grand Ole Opry? You said
Ingvall. No, I think Ingvall's the only one.
Really? Oh, not even Foxworthy? Wow.
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, I'm sure he could have.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't think that it was. I don't know anything. I mean, I'm a much better comedian. Well, you know that. I mean, I don't want to talk about that. I mean, I'm better. Well, he knows.
And we sure as hell know Ron White's not going to do it. He's not going to be clean enough to do that stuff. So that's great.
He could. You know, I am surprised that Cable Guy hasn't done it.
That's true. Yeah. That's
you know. True.
Yeah.
But you know, it's it's dude. Kevin Nealon did it.
Really?
Which was it was odd, but I was like, what a cool.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Nashville's
become like really cool. Like before we were just kind of bah, those rednecks. Now everybody's moving here, jacking up the real estate market.
Yep.
I'm seeing people that I knew in LA. I'm like, what are you doing here? Oh, we moved here. Don't screw this place up. Don't turn us into your dump ass place.
Well, I'm sending them out of Florida because they're moving here in droves. I told them, I said, there ain't nothing but sinkholes and assholes down here. You got to get out of Florida and just go to Tennessee. I go, they got four seasons. Seriously, we got too much going on in Florida, man. Let me ask you this. Your latest CD, your latest album came out not too long ago called Who Is Reno Collier? How long in the making, and just what were the feelings and emotions of the of this compilation, this new album of yours?
So I just came out of, it wasn't really a quarantine for me. I mean, they shut other stuff down, so there was nowhere for me to go. But I kept working through COVID. I just put my head down and hit the hole and ran. So much material came out of, you know, like how you watch comics and they always talk about, well, I was on an airplane, or, you know, it's the same travel. Have you done it? Right. Because that's all we do.
Right.
Hotel jokes, travel jokes, whatever. So in working construction, I got a whole new perspective and outlook on material and things. I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
For that reason, if not that, and to keep me sane, but like it really opened my eyes to a lot of things that I'd lost touch with. Yeah. So this album was me just coming out guns blazing.
Good.
And it was material that I'd been working on during the whole pandemic season or whatever the hell we're in. Yeah. So it's the best thing I've done.
I've seen your previous. I've seen you on one of your first Comedy Central specials, and we're going to put a clip of that on, or we'll put your headshot from that back in the day. That was early 2000s.
Yeah.
And you had that, you know, you got that baby face, man. Like, seriously, I didn't even know you back then, but I'm like, I'm painting the inside of my house. I'm literally painting the walls, and I always had Comedy Central on, and I hear the special coming on, and they go, live, Reno Collier. And I go, who's this guy? And I turn around and I go, who is that baby? You had this baby, the double chin, that baby. I mean, I couldn't stop staring at you. I go, he is a 5-year-old face on an adult body.
Yeah.
It blew me away. But I mean, that's so cool though. But I'm glad though, like you said, it's your best, because I've seen what you were doing, which I really loved anyway. I've seen you host Blue Collar. Now just seeing you get back on the road, is there going to be like, are you going to be going across country here soon? Like how expansive is the tour going to be? You're going to be touring?
Everywhere. Vegas. Good. I mean, it's all over the place.
Good.
And it's the most honest comedy I've done. And the most, not, I mean, I never was lying, but this is real heart stuff.
Yeah.
And it's about faith, you know what I mean? Like it's about, but it's not preaching. I'm not preaching. I'm just talking about how I've jacked up and, you know, you gotta, anyway, it was really fun. It's got some great stories in it.
Yep.
It got up to number 2. I don't know if it ever made it to 1. I don't like looking at those things.
Yeah.
But there's like a Bo Burnham guy or something who just sells a ton of downloads. My kids love him. I don't know that much about him. I'm old.
He's good.
Yeah. But yeah, man, it's my favorite thing I've done.
And as long as you can say that, and I've seen, like I said, I've seen some of it at Snappers when you were here at Snappers Comedy Club in Palm Harbor not too long ago. And like you said, you do some religious stuff, or like your Christianity stuff. It's not preachy. You talk about your wife. You talk about just your health, your job doing construction. I mean, it's great. It's everyday stories. And, you know, if people don't know you, you're not, you know, you don't use really many curse words. You hardly curse at all.
Yeah, I'm trying not to. Like in everyday life, I do. Like if I stub my toe, I mean, I'm not trying to be. And like when I talk about faith stuff, right?
Right.
I'm not, there's never any you should, we should. There's no shoulds in it. It's like I was jacked up. I messed up, you know, and I'm trying to do it right and be a good Christian, but I can't. Like, it's like what everybody goes through. And that's what I keep hearing from people is like, dude, I think the exact same thing. Like, well, I'm supposed to be like this, But I go into it kicking and screaming, like, I don't want to give up, you know, who I am and what.
Right.
So it's more, it's not about God as much as it's trying to just be a better person and trying to, and to me, God is how I get there. But, you know, it's, I don't want to hurt anybody. I tell people this all the time. I want to get up to heaven and have Jesus go, dude, those first 45 years, you just terrorized and jacked up everything. But I like what you did at the end. You put a little bow on it and you kind of go sneak in on the bell curve. You know what I mean? Like, thank God I lived long enough to be able to kind of fix the little ship a little bit and get it back. You know?
You had a good fourth quarter. You made a good comeback.
That's right. I'm a derelict and I'll always be a derelict, but I'm trying. And that's where the humor comes out, is me trying to figure this out and get my head right, you know?
And you did good, kid. I got to ask this because mainly as a fan, are we ever, maybe it's wishful thinking, do you think we might see one more for the heck of it, blue collar tour with everyone?
No.
You no?
I don't. I mean, I don't have any insight to, but my gut is no.
Yeah.
But who knows, dude? You know what I mean? Like, it's not like they don't like each other or anything. Right. It's not like, you know, it's anything like that. I just think those guys have worked. And people can say it looks easy and da da da. Those guys have worked a long time and a lot of shows. And I think they're enjoying being where they are. Oh, but that being said, I have no idea. I mean, you know what I mean? It could be, who knows? It would be enormous. It would be huge, you know, if they did. But I just don't know, man.
Okay. And you know what? Knowing Cable Guy, knowing Dan, and he's not much of a drinker, and I know about Bill Engvall, and Foxworthy, I'm guessing probably not either. So was it down to, like, back in the day, like you and Ron White going out for the party at night? Like, was he the guy going, hey, Reno, come on over here, man. We got to hit the club.
Dude, I did when I was with him, but I didn't need anybody with me.
Right. Good.
I did stuff like take the guy who Dan hired to be the trainer and get him drunk till 4 o'clock in the morning. Then he wouldn't wake up and work out with Dan. Dave Griffin, I'd have him. You know, we're playing cards till 4 a.m. and Dan's like, cool. I don't have to go run. You know what I mean?
That's great.
And Randy, you know, I'd try to make Randy stay up and do, or if nobody wanted to, I was good. You know what I mean? I'd turn the music on and sit up in the front of the bus and talk to Beeman, drill beers for, you know.
That's great.
I wasn't that guy. That's what people think. Like, well, because I partied so much, everybody did. It wasn't like that.
Huh.
You know, it was, a lot of it was just me and me pushing the, you know, I should have been fired every single day.
Right.
Like, I really, that Cable Guy tour, there were times, like, dude, his first arena show in Raleigh, 17,000 people. Uh-huh. I just the night before been with Ron, right? And with Ron, you do your set. Thank you. Good night. Lights go off. A light comes down, a bottle of scotch. You're gone.
Uh-huh.
So the next night I'm with Cable Guy in Raleigh. It's his first arena show, completely sold out. I go up, do my 20 minutes and go, thanks. Good night. And I walk off. I never brought him up. I go walking off the stage. He's like, Reno, what happened? I'm like, dude, that was awesome. You're going to love him. He's like, you didn't bring me up. I'm like, oh. And all of a sudden you hear eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. And he just walks up on stage, right? There is not an act in the world who doesn't fire me that night. He comes off stage laughing about it. That was so funny, you dumbass. You forgot to bring me up. Let's go outside and watch the Braves game.
Yeah. Now, do you recall him telling you, or did he assume? Did he say, hey, man, don't forget to bring me up?
No, but he just figured because I was out with him all the time. Like, who wouldn't bring up the comic? I mean, you learn in MC 101 at the Holiday Inn bar that you bring up the next guy. I mean, and not only that, it looked like I did it. Like, this is my show. I sold 17,000 tickets. Thank you. Good night. You've seen enough. I'm out. You know what I mean?
I'll be selling merch in the auditorium.
Yeah. And he's standing there holding the guitar, looking at me like, dude, what are you doing?
Oh my God. Dude, that is awesome, man. And, and just thanks for hanging out. I can't wait to get back to the Tampa Bay area. Oh, when you're doing your tour and you get back to Florida, whether you're doing Tampa dates or not, we'll definitely push it. We'll have you back on it and promote the shows and everything. Where can people get a hold of you on social media? Like, what's some of the best places to get a hold of Reno Collier?
So on my website, renocolliercomedy.com, all the links are on there, but like at Reno Collier on Facebook, do Reno Collier Comedy, because my regular page is filled up and there's like thousands of friend requests. I don't know how to tell them not to. Do you know?
I'll check it out. Yeah. That's why
Collier Comedy one. It's the same stuff. It's the exact same thing.
We have guys like Randy to do this for. Randy Meyer, shout out to him. He takes care of everything. It's like, Randy. He goes, I know, I'll handle it.
He makes fun of me to this day. I would forget the bus code, which was only like six numbers. And I'm locked out and I'm calling him and he's like, 6492. Damn it, Reno. And I'm like, what's the bus code? He's like, you just put it in an hour ago. Poor Randy. I probably took 20 years off his life.
He answers like that. Like I literally am afraid to ask him any question because he answers it like I'm supposed to know the internet and technology. Yeah. I'll ask him, I'll go, so what about this website? He goes, you put the code in, and I'll go in the back. I go, okay, hey, I'm not Bill Gates, brother. I'm asking you because I don't know anything.
That's so funny.
But he's the best, man. I love Randy Meyer.
He is the best, man.
We always have our Where They At segment where we let people know where comedians are around the country and stuff and Florida. Do you have any upcoming dates you want to share with people? It could be next week or anywhere else. You know where you're going to be at?
Yeah. So Josh Arnold from Bob and Tom Show and Willie Griswold and I are going to be in Indiana starting next week. It's Kokomo, Lebanon, Indiana, the 25th, Kokomo, Indiana, the 26th. The Key Palace Theater, March 4th and March 5th in Plainfield, Indiana. So we're doing an Indiana run, and then I'm going to do a little West Virginia run.
Cool.
And then I'm like, it gets weird. Then it's like Syracuse, Dayton, Toledo, Cincinnati. If you go on renocolliercomedy.com, it's all on there, man. And I'd love to see everybody. And by the way, thank you to everybody who comes to see me. I really love being back on the road and seeing everybody. And I hope you have fun and you can always come say hi to me after the shows. I love it.
You are cool, that without a doubt. It's a great show and you are very affable and gregarious after the shows. If people come up, do pictures, autographs, whatever you got going on.
And you
ingratiate yourself. So I love that. So, and don't forget people also, we're going to put this link up, asoldierschild.org to help out children of fallen U.S. military personnel. Reno Collier, as always, man, it's a pleasure. I can't wait to see you back here in Florida or with me and Lisa or up in your neck of the woods in Tennessee. We'll definitely give you a shout.
You know you call me. And she is so sweet, man. And Pat, I love you, dude. And by the way, anyone watching too, you better go see Pat Largo because he freaking blew the doors off when we were down in Florida.
Well,
so
funny,
man.
Thank you. We get lucky once in a while, man. We get lucky once in a while. But I'm with you. I love doing what we're doing, and I'm glad down here in Florida we get to do it a lot. So, but thank you, man. And we'll talk with you soon. Again, it's Reno Collier, and go to a show. It's going to be great. As always, enjoy the First Amendment. Enjoy free speech. And also laugh. You deserve it. And that's why we do the Comedians Uncorked podcast. And thank you for checking out the Comedians Uncorked podcast. For Tony Gard, my name is Pat Largo. Don't forget to hit us up on our YouTube channel. Please hit subscribe. And also comediansuncorked.com. Laugh, you deserve it. We'll see you next time on the Comedians Uncorked podcast.